Views, claims, and/or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us, and we'll take your telephone calls today if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. The telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for another day that you've given us. Thank you for the warmer weathers here today. We just pray that you bless, watch over us, Lord. Use the program today for your glory. Help us to talk about things that will be glorifying to you and point people to Christ that they might find him as their Savior. Bless now. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good to be with you here this afternoon. I'll tell you, it was cold last week here in northeastern Ohio, and not just here in northeastern Ohio. It was cold throughout much of the eastern half of the United States, and actually through the midsection and down along the Gulf Coast, and even down in Texas and all over the place. After church on Sunday, we went over, there's a little family restaurant, Richfield Family Restaurant, that we sometimes go to after church, and there was a truck driver that was in there, and he had just been in Texas earlier, I guess on Saturday, and said that the roads were bad where he was driving. He was in whiteout conditions in Texas, of all places, with the snow blowing and coming down so hard. And then, of course, there was the tremendous traffic jam down in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm so glad I wasn't down in that. It wasn't so much the amount of snow or even the amount of ice, although they weren't prepared for that. They don't have the resources to deal with that as well as we do here in Northeast Ohio, nor are people down there as acclimated to driving in those kind of conditions. But I guess just a whole cascade of events. Too many people all decided to hit the roads at the same time. And while these people are stuck in their cars, 12, 24 hours in their cars, there's the President of the United States there on Tuesday night saying that the argument about global, or the debate on global warming, is over. Yeah, it's over. It's not happening. Temperature hasn't gone up, I think, in like 17 years. I think over the last 17 years, the average Earth temperature's not gone up. It's actually decreased. There's a number of voices out there saying that we might be even in a global cooling period. That's why they like to use the term climate change. Well, all I know is God has a plan, God has a purpose, and certainly when one volcano can put out more carbon dioxide and more gases into the atmosphere than mankind's ever admitted in its history, who are we to think that we're going to change the world with the amount that we emit? That's a whole other subject. Not really what I want to get into here this afternoon, though. Just thinking about the temperatures and the cold weather, and thankful that we've had a little bit of a warm up here today. And I hope you can get out and get some things done that you might not have been able to do beforehand. I wanted to talk today about something that actually came up in our Sunday night program. This past Sunday night, we had a discussion that didn't get a chance to do too much with, but it was regarding people who live in parts of the world where they do not have a gospel witness, and what happens to them. Are they going to be accountable for the name of Christ? Are they going to be condemned into hell? Are they going to have a chance to go to heaven? What is happening with those people? What's going to happen to them? And we're going to touch on that a little bit here this afternoon. But Also, we're not limited to that. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And this idea of what happens to the lost in other parts of the world, there's a variety of thoughts that people come to, but really for our purposes, you know, what the Bible says ought to be our guideline. And, you know, the name of our church there in Richfield is the Bible Baptist Church. And there's reasons for that. Baptist, of course, has to do with our theological perspective. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, and we believe the Bible is our final authority. And we believe that the Bible is the sole source of our beliefs and practices. There's a number of other things. And so as a result, we hold to some of the historic Baptist distinctives that are encompassed in that theological position. The other thing with Bible in there, that reflects our theological position too. We want to find out what God has to say to solve any questions that we have. And here is a passage in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, he's talking about Jesus Christ, and he identified that name previously in the chapter. A few verses ahead, we can see that Peter is speaking to a group here, and it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole," and that's referring to a miraculous healing that had taken place. And he says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And this is the stone," referring to Jesus Christ, "which was set at naught of ye builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And this point about Jesus being the only name, it's the idea of who he is, whether we call him Yeshua or Yehoshua or some other variation, Jesus or something like that. We know who we're talking about. And this passage here is stressing that it's only through Jesus Christ that we have salvation. Now, here's the thing that we have to come down to. Regardless of what you and I think, regardless of what you and I would prefer, regardless of what you and I might not like, if the Bible is the Word of God, and I believe that it is, then the statements in the Bible are God's statements. And we see here that Peter spoke filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what it tells us there in Acts 4, verse number 8. He was filled with the Holy Ghost when he spoke. And so God was speaking through Peter, just like Peter later said when he said that holy men of old spake as the Spirit moved them. And so we see that Peter speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit tells us that the only salvation we can find is through Christ. Now, if we believe the Bible is true, if we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then when we look at this statement here, we have to believe that this is God's statement. This is what God says. This is not what we might like to think or what we might like to believe. This is what God says. There's only salvation in Christ. Now, let's go back to that person that's out in the jungle somewhere that doesn't know Jesus, and his fathers, his ancestors didn't know him either. He's out there, he's living, and he may be striving to be, you know, a a good member of his village and do the things that his traditions and his laws and stuff teach. He may even have some religious beliefs. He may be trying to do the best that he can. But we still come down to the fact that the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. So salvation is only in Jesus Christ. Now that reflects what Jesus said in John chapter 14 when he was letting them know, letting his disciples know that he was going to prepare a place for them in heaven. And in John 14 verse number 6, the Bible records Jesus, God in the flesh, is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, this is an exclusive position, and it goes hand in hand with what Peter said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he spake filled with the Holy Ghost. This is an exclusive position. This is the reason that we are commanded by Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel, because there are people out there in the world who have not heard a presentation of the gospel message, and they need to hear it if they're going to go to heaven. Now, we might be offended at that, and certainly there are people who are offended at that. Atheists get very offended at the idea that we're telling them that unless they trust Christ as their Savior, they're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. They don't like to hear that. They think that we're being judgmental. No, I'm just relating what the Scriptures say. And besides, there's nothing wrong with being judgmental. If you judge with righteous judgment, we judge all the time. And we're just being honest and saying we believe the Scriptures. And the Scriptures say that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No man comes to the Father but by him, by Jesus Christ. And that's the only name given. There's no salvation in any other. That's the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And so we need to tell people about Jesus Christ and tell them how that God took on human form. The birth of Jesus Christ was significant. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, so he would not inherit a sin nature. The sin nature comes from our Father. We inherit it from our Father, who inherited it from his Father, all the way back to Adam. By one man's sin, or disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And we're all under that curse of sin. We have a sin nature. Because we have a human father. So Jesus had no human father. He inherited no sin nature. And then, of course, he was born of Mary, which put him in a direct line back in the line of David. Mary, of course, had a sin nature. I know the Roman Catholics balk at that teaching, but Mary had a human father. And I had somebody tell me one time, well, Mary was sinless, because how can somebody who is who has a sin nature give birth to the sinless Christ? Well, it's very simple. It was a miracle. She had no earthly father, that Jesus had no earthly father. Holy Spirit came upon Mary and put within her womb the Christ child, and so Jesus was born without a sin nature. And this person that I was talking to one time said, well, no, that's impossible for somebody who has a sin nature to give birth to somebody without a sin nature. I said, well, if that's the case, then if Mary was without sin, then she had to be born from a sinless mother. And this individual looked at me and said, well, you know, many people believe that. I said, well, if that's the case, then her mother had to be born without sin from a mother that had no sin nature. And her mother's mother had to have, be sinless, had to be without a sin nature. And that would take us all the way back eventually to Eve, because every woman living is a descendant of Eve. Even the geneticists, scientists have shown that every woman, every person living is a descendant of Eve through our mitochondrial DNA. They call her mitochondrial Eve, actually. And so since we're all the children of Eve, the descendants of Eve, She's our ultimate mother. We know Eve sinned. All you have to do is read the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and look in chapter 3. Eve was tricked. She was deceived by the serpent. She ate the forbidden fruit. Eve sinned. And therefore, if you have to have a sinless person to give birth to a sinless person, Mary could not have been a descendant of Eve, and neither could Jesus. But that would violate the prophecy that God gave to Adam and Eve way back when he placed the curse upon the world in Genesis chapter 3. Let me turn over there real quick and just read it for you. Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that God spoke to Eve, and he said in verse 17 here, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast, that's his speaking to Adam. Let me go back up to verse number 15. There we go. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And notice that between thy seed and her seed. And then, of course, it goes on to address Eve unto the woman. He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, here's the thing. God promised that it would be the seed of the woman, and that's referring to Eve, a descendant of Eve, that would bruise the head of the seed of the serpent there, and that's, we call that sometimes the proto-gospel. That's the first messianic prophecy in the scriptures, that promise of a coming Savior. And so if Jesus was born of a sinless Mary, who was born of a sinless mother of Mary, who was born of a sinless mother of the mother of Mary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then that would invalidate this prophecy, because Eve was with sin, and it would be her descendant that would be the Messiah. Not only that, think back in this person that's out in the jungle somewhere, the Amazon or whatever, and they say, well, how can they be accountable for that? Well, they already are experiencing a portion of the curse. You notice what it said to Adam there in Genesis chapter 3. He said that cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18 here again, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. And for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. So they're already experiencing that part of the curse. Why would they be exempt from the sin nature? Why would they be exempt from being born growing and not being alive spiritually, in the sense being spiritually dead? Why would they be exempt from the need to trust Christ as their Savior? They're not exempt from the labor. They're not exempt from the thorns and thistles. They're not exempt from the curse on the ground. They're not exempt to dying and returning to dust. So why would they be exempt from the wages of sin, which is death? Well, the answer is they're not exempt from that. If they were exempt from that, then there would be no reason for Jesus to have commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Somebody said, well, you know, they're exempt until they hear the gospel. Well, boy, that's a nice thing, because then that tells me that when a missionary goes into an area that they didn't hear the gospel, if God's going to have a special dispensation for the unsaved people living there, that if they're just basically good, and if they're like even if they're, let's say he got washed up on the land of the Isle of Atheists, let's say, washed up on the Isle of Atheists, and the atheists were trying to be good people, and there are some atheists that try to be good people. The current pope said that an atheist, if he tries to be good, it will eventually make it into heaven. Well, that's not what my Bible says, that you have to have Jesus Christ. You must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must understand that you have sinned, that you're in violation of God's law, and that Jesus Christ came into this world, God in the flesh, who willingly went to the cross where he shed his blood to pay for our sin. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, talking about the remission or the forgiveness, the payment for sin and the forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ is the propitiation, the Bible says, literally the payment for our sin. And so this person out there in the jungle, he is not on his way to heaven until we share the gospel with him, and then he becomes answerable to the gospel, because the Bible says that there is no other method of salvation. Let me go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 here, and we're coming up on the end of the program, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, and let me go down here to verse number 5. The Bible says, "For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Now notice this, "who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Now that tells us two things there. There's a lot of other things that we can get from that, but real quick, here's two things. The only mediator, the only go-between. A mediator is somebody who takes two estranged parties. When there's a strike that nobody's budging, management's not budging, labor's not budging, they bring in a mediator, and the mediator finds what it takes to bring the two parties together. And the mediator bridges the gap. And God became the mediator between himself and us, because God desires a relationship with us. God wants us to be saved. It's God's desire that we trust Christ as our Savior. God wants us to be in heaven. He did not create us to populate hell. That's one of the failings of the Calvinist position, that some people were created to populate hell. And in fact, some Calvinists used to rail against missions work and say, well, if God wanted people to be saved, he would have had them born in a Christian land. If they were born in a pagan land, it's because their purpose is to populate hell. And that, of course, is a false teaching. I find that kind of heretical. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God himself had to become the mediator by taking on the form of a man, born of the Virgin Mary, living a perfect, holy life, not having a sin nature, and then going to the cross and making the final payment for our sin. As he shed his blood on the cross, he was buried. He rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And that's how we know that that was good enough. It was acceptable. If he hadn't rose from the dead, it wouldn't have been acceptable. And so this passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 points out Jesus Christ as the mediator. He can bring sinful man to the table with a holy God. And the way he can do that is by showing that he himself gave himself a ransom for all. All means just that. You know, if you look in the Greek, you know what that means for all? It means all. It means everybody. Jesus died on the cross for everybody. Some people try to say, well, if he died for everybody and somebody didn't get saved, then that means that his death was in vain. No, I'm sorry. He made it available to everybody. I'm a veteran. I've never gone to the VA. I can get some medical benefits from the Veterans Association. I've never gone there for those. Just because I haven't gone there doesn't mean they're available. Some veterans that are qualified to get a veteran's home loan, a zero down home loan, haven't availed themselves of that. Does that mean it's not available? When I went for a home loan, I was able to get it because I was a veteran. And so I know it's available, just as I know the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. I was a sinner, and I chose to avail myself of the way of salvation that's through Christ. Any sinner can do that. Just because one sinner doesn't avail themselves doesn't mean it's not available. It's available. If you're there listening today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you. You need to put your faith in Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. No other false religions. It's not Allah. It's not Buddha. It's not a great philosophy. You can't even be a good atheist and get into heaven like the Pope says. No, you must trust Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and men. Hey, call us, visit our church if we can be a help. God bless. See you next week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representation